Hello, everyone. Tonight is January the 4th, 2021, and the subject is called The Business of Change. The verse is 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, everything is new." God is in the business of changing lives. God also helps people to change. Change does not usually happen quickly. It took 7 years of war to accomplish the conquest of Canaan. Our journey with God is a lifelong process. Therefore, changes and victories take time. God helps us handle change. God changes the worst in us, like the Samaritan woman, Peter, Judah, and Mary Magdalene. God desires to change people on the inside. It matters much to God what we are on the inside. Christians are brand new people. We are not reformed. We're not re-educated, but we are recreated. We are a new creation living a vital union, in vital union with Christ. At conversion, we're not nearly turning over a new leaf, but we are beginning a new life under a new master. Inward changes should lead to outward changes. We're truly a new creation as all things about us become new, like a thorough change of heart, a new heart and a new nature, a new spiritual life with new desires. We view everything now in relation to Christ. We have a new love for the Word. We have a new outlook on life. We have new friends and a new family. Everything tingles with new significance. And we have a new way of dying. A new speech and a new way of life. We have new goals and new ideals. And we have a new way and a new master. The change is deep and strong and lasting. The best sermon is preached with one's life rather than with one's lips. In Genesis 49:9, we're told much about the tribe of Judah. Judah was the fourth son of Jacob by his wife Leah. He was the founder of the tribal family of Judah, out of which the messianic line came. He was the most prominent of the 12 sons of Jacob. He was the leader of harm, though, when he suggested that his brothers sell Joseph to the Ishmaelites and rather than kill him. That was the Judah before. Many years later, God changed his heart. He is described as a baby lion or a whelp. And then after many years of more change in his life, he was symbolized as a lion. Then in Genesis 49:8-12, as he was fully changed, he was symbolized as an old lion. On Jacob's deathbed, Jacob blessed Judah and praised him as the leader of the tribe. In 1 Chronicles 5:2, it says, "Judah prevailed above his brethren, and it was from the tribe of Judah our Lord came." Judah's change. First, he set Selim and he wanted them to sell Joseph to the Ishmaelites. He broke his father's heart and he didn't care. But yet, after his change, he offered himself as hostage instead of Benjamin. In Genesis 44:34, he cares much about his father's pain. He received his prophetic future from Jacob. In Genesis 44:16-34, he makes a grand speech that showed the level of his change. Until the new man is born or regenerated, the soul abides in death and therefore cannot change. An acorn is not an oak tree when it is planted. It must go through long summers and fierce winters It must endure all that frost and snow and striking wind before it is a full-grown oak. These elements are rough teachers, but rugged schoolmasters make rugged pupils. So a man, when he is regenerated, he has only begun. His manhood must come with years. When Christ looked at Peter, he said to him, "Your name shall not be called Simon," which means hearing, "but thou shalt be called Cephas," which means a stone. Jesus was looking a long way down the road. At salvation, the Holy Spirit dwells in us, but walking with Christ allows the life to unfold within us, bringing about the changes God wants for us. God is a spiritual gardener. He called us a vineyard of delight in Isaiah 27:2-3. We must take root, we must blossom and sprout, filling our world with fruits. Let's look at Peter's change. He was known as a big, blundering fisherman with all talk and no substance. 3 times he promised Jesus not to betray him, and 3 times he did. He opposed Jesus washing the feet of the disciples. He said no to the cross. He cut the soldier's ear with an undisciplined and unrestrained act. He suggested to stay on the Mount of Transfiguration when Jesus wanted him down to serve. He was a man called Hearer, who changed later to a stone or to a rock. Let's look at Peter after the change. He was commissioned to proclaim the gospel to the Jews. Jesus said to him, "Go feed the flock." 11 chapters in Acts are built around Peter. 3,000 were saved by his first sermon. He wrote the epistles of Peter. He changed from a hearer to a rock. Longfellow, the poet, could take a worthless sheet of paper, write a poem on it, and make it worth $6,000. That is genius. Rockefeller could sign his name to a piece of paper and make it worth $1 million. That's capital. Uncle Sam can take gold and stamp an eagle on it and make it worth $50. That's money. A mechanic can take material that is worth only $5 and make it worth $50. That is skill. An artist can take a 50-cent piece of canvas, paint a picture on it, and make it worth $1,000. That's art. But God can take a worthless, sinful life, wash it in the blood of Christ, put his spirit in it, and make it a blessing to humanity. That's salvation. The Lord chooses his vessels from the pit of sin. He then redeems them, washes them with his blood, and then uses them regardless of their past sins or failures. Example: Abraham, the founder of Israel and called the friend of God, was once an idol worshiper. Joseph, the prime minister of Egypt, had a prison record. Moses, the great leader, was a murderer. Jephthah was an illegitimate child who ran around with rebels, was called by God as a judge. Rahab was a harlot in Jericho. She became the ancestor of Jesus Christ and was listed in the Hall of Fame in Hebrews 11. Eli and Samuel were both poor fathers, but proved to be strong men for God. Jonah was a runaway missionary. John Mark was a coward and a quitter who ran away from hardships. Peter openly denied the Lord and cursed him, yet became God's spokesman. Paul was a vicious murderer and persecutor of Christians, yet he became the greatest evangelist ever. David was an adulterer and a murderer, became the beloved king of Israel. Aaron was weak and wishy-washy, yet became the chosen high priest. Jacob was a conniver, a cheat, a supplanter, a liar, and a deceiver. Also, he was a contender with God, striving against God, fighting him, rejecting his plans and his ways. He changed into Jeshurun, meaning upright and straight. God has turned crooked Jacob into an upright man. He became a rock, courageous and immovable. How magnificent is grace! How precious and broad is God's love! How refreshing is the Lord and his forgiveness and mercy! This poem says it all. Follow me, the Lord says, and I will make you speak my words with power, make you channels of my mercy, make you helpful every hour. Follow me, and I will make you what you cannot be, make you loving, trustful, godly, make you even like to me. God is never in a hurry, but spends years with those he expects to greatly use. He never thinks the days of preparation too long or too dull. So may we go along accepting all our trials and difficulties and consider them as part of God's school of change. Amen.